Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast will definitely contain naughty words and spoilers.
Hello everybody and welcome back to Hayley Watches, where this week Colin made me watch Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider.
Yeah, the 2007 version with one of my favourite actors, Nicolas Cage.
He's so good.
Oh my god.
He's so good.
Do you know, it's a bit of a mixed feeling with him because I watched him, I quite liked him in Con Air.
Yeah, that's a classic.
And obviously Face Off.
Face Off, the best film ever, because when him and John Travolta are the good guys, you're like, oh, you're boring. So bad. But then when they're the bad guys, they're so batshit crazy, it's brilliant.
It's glorious, isn't it? And I watched that, I don't know, was it Saturday Night Live? I don't know, we did that sketch where there's another guy who was pretending to be Nicolas Cage. So
him and Andy Samberg being Nick Cage. That's
that was amazing. I was like, new respect for Nicolas Cage. But still, a little bit on my feelings with Tom Cruise. Don't like him.
Blasphemy.
Yeah. It's a declaration of independence. You're welcome, world. That's my impression of him.
It was good. I liked it.
Thanks. So, I've got a little film synopsis. It says, years ago, motorcycle stuntman Johnny Blaze, Nicolas Cage, sold his soul to save the life of his loved one. Now he transformed into a fiery, avenging agent of justice at night wherever evil roams.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Spooky.
So, spoiler, Nicolas Cage is Ghost Rider.
Even though it shows that he's Ghost Rider in the poster.
Yeah.
Just put the spoiler warning in there, just in case.
I'm just going to go through and just quickly say some of the names, in particular some of the demons, because I'm going to just call them something random, because they've got really big names.
Proper demon names.
Ish. So they're Mephistopheles. Yeah, but it's not done Mephistopheles. Anyways, he's Devil. Yeah, Blackheart.
The Devil. Blackheart is the main bad guy, anyway.
Yeah. There's a spoiler coming up for like that later on. You got Roxanne Simpson, who is the love interest. Eva Mendes.
Yeah. And early Eva Mendes, yeah, by the look of it.
Very early. Then you got Barton Blaze, who's the daddy. Then you got Abigor, who's one of the demons. Wallow. I don't like Wallow.
Which one was Wallow?
Wallow's water a water one.
Yeah.
Hideous.
Yeah, he was a bit grim.
And then there was Gristle. Grizzle. It's not Gristle, it's Grizzle.
I like Gristle. I'm just going to call him Gristle now.
I think that's all the ones you really need to think know about. There's one classic, which is The Girl in the Alley, which when we get to it, I was over the moon when I found out who that was.
You called it. I did call it.
You were like, shut up.
It's not them. And then I looked up, I was like, oh, yeah, it's them.
So when the film started, I had mixed feelings about watching it, if I'm honest. I was kind of looking forward to watching a hero film that I'd not seen before. Also because he's like an anti-hero as well. So I was like, quite fond of an anti-hero.
Could be cool.
Could be cool. Never Deadpool cool, but you could try. And Colin, you were like, and you thought Endgame was good.
You wait. This is a real treat.
And then you said, like, that this was filmed a year before, or came out a year before Iron Man.
Yeah, Iron Man and The Incredible Hulk came out in 2008. And this came out in 2007. There's a big change. Oh,
my God, was there? I mean, oh. Anyways, so it starts out with someone saying, I wrote out as much as I could, but, you know, I was trying to write and watch. The West is built on legends, legend of the Ghost Rider. There's like a scary horse.
Yeah, it's an old Ghost Rider, and he explains about the contract, doesn't he?
Yeah, and so like there's like shows a swamp, and he says that in every generation there's a cursed soul that the devil basically like takes his soul. So there's a contract of 1,000 evil souls, which would have been perfect for the devil, and he wanted to get his hands on it, but that Ghost Rider, I think, hid it from him, didn't he? So he couldn't take the souls.
The Ghost Rider collects the contract, but then runs from the devil.
Yeah, so he couldn't get it. And he said that's the thing about legends, is sometimes they are true.
It's so cheese.
It's so cheesy. And I've written down fab opening credits.
It is so cheesy.
It's like, bad.
It is.
And I literally was watching it going, and then Iron Man came out.
It's so bad that it's good.
Yeah. So it opens with a fun fair. There's like a ring of fire and there's a motorbike stunt person.
It's the trick not having the Johnny Cash song.
They did. That's my go-to song when I've got the poops.
Oh, God. That's ruined that song. That's ruined.
I love Johnny Cash.
So did everyone else.
I'm pretty sure everyone else sings it when they've got a poorly butt.
Okay, thanks for tuning in. Bye.
So anyways, this motorbike stunt person is checking out the ladies and like thinks he like nearly crashes or something, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Crashes.
So, and then he says, he gets like, basically the attention is with this young Eva Mendes' character. And he says, oh, will she be there, like when you're sort of in a wheelchair and stuff?
Yeah, the dad says it to Johnny.
Yeah.
He's showing off, nearly crashes.
So, yeah, so he calls him like Hot Shot, which is hilarious. And then it cuts to like Johnny and that bird by the tree carve a name into it. And then she's got this, like, dress on, which I'm like, why would you wouldn't wear that on a motorbike? That's ridiculous.
Getting up all the key details.
Well, I was looking at it, and I was like,
wearing that dress on a motorbike.
Please, wardrobe. Think about it. So she then tells him that she's leaving, and that he's not good enough for her. That's what like, her dad's telling him, her, yeah. That... she's not good enough for him. And he's like, it's fine, like, we'll just run away together. And my dad can do the show on his own, he doesn't need me. And then you're like,
Ruh-roh.
Yes, he's counting down to something. So that's that scene. And then it cuts like his dad sat in the house reading the newspaper cuttings of him and his son and, you know, all this sort of stuff. And then he pulls out a pack of cigarettes. And I'm like, why are you showing cigarettes? And then there's a letter, which I think Johnny finds, isn't he?
Yeah, his dad's fallen asleep.
Sleep.
Looking at all that stuff. And takes the book and the cigarettes and finds a letter.
Which says basically he's got cancer in his chest. So I'm like, oh, that's a bit shit. And then there's a bit of a storm. And Johnny's inside like the tent tinkering with all of his motorbikes. And all the lights start flickering as this man's walking down this walkway. And he's like, Johnny Blaze, I enjoyed watching you ride. Maybe you'll ride for me. I'm like, I don't think this person's getting a bit of the no feeling here.
So much no.
So much no. And he asked about how his father was. And he's like, oh, how do you know that he's ill? And he's like, oh, you know, it can take a real toll on the family. So, you know, like he can make you a deal. You know, just all it takes is your soul or something along those lines.
And Johnny's like, shut up. What are you talking about?
So he basically, like, agrees to sign his soul over to save his dad, to get rid of the cancer.
So the devil... There's a bit of a... The devil word in it. Like, I can make him well.
As strong as a horse.
Strong as a horse, yeah. And then he opens the contract, pricks his finger.
Drop of blood. He's like, that'll do.
Yeah, that'll do. Cheers, signed. Adios.
And then he, like, wakes up suddenly in bed, and his dad's like, fine. And you're like, oh, sweet.
Fit as a fiddle.
Yeah, absolutely fine. He goes, oh, I feel as strong as a horse. Great. Yeah. They do their show. Oh, yeah, they wrote down he didn't even read the contract either. He just dropped his blood on it, didn't he? And then, like, it's fine. Anyways.
Unintentionally dropped his blood on it as well.
I know, but he didn't get a chance to read it. Had he have read it, things could have been different.
Always read the fine print. It's the lesson we can learn.
Otherwise, if anything,
you could end up being a ghost rider.
I'd be awful. Basically, his dad goes to the stunt, just falls straight into the ring of fire and just dies.
Gone.
I was like, well, that is a shitter, because that obviously was a, yeah, get rid of his cancer, but still gonna die.
Yes, they're watching me and the shadows, the devil.
Hideous. So he goes, like, off on a ride, and he's like, nearly has an accident, and the devil arrives, and this is like when the whole pointy finger turns up. Peter Pointer points at you.
Oh, no.
So he points at him because he's like, you're no good to me dead, as he's fallen off a bike. And he points and he's like, you killed him.
He's like, I cured him.
Yeah. But he could have had him in.
He had an accident. It's his own fault.
And that's he was like, just like.
Don't make deals with the devil.
Yeah. It's like in Harry Potter. You've got to be careful how you word things to goblins.
Mm.
If you don't follow us on Instagram, went to Harry Potter Studios on my birthday. Yeah, it was wicked. So now I'm all like Harry Potter obsessed again. Found those Horcruxes.
From your brain.
From my brain. Anyways, going back to pointy finger points at you. He said, one day I'm going to come for you. Because basically, you know, he signed this thing. He's like, forget about love, forget about family. You're just always going to be, you're just like Johnny Blaze, basically. So he drives off into this, like, away on his motorbike, drives past Eva Mendes' younger self. That's not her, I can't remember what her name is now.
Roxanne.
That's it, Roxy. And just like, they look at each other and he just drives off and leaves her.
In the rain, stops. Yeah. In the rain, so dramatic.
Ridiculous. So then it fast forward a bit and then you've got to the cage years I've written down.
The cage years.
And he keeps saying, can't live in fear. So he's doing like these absolutely ridiculous jumps, isn't he? Like jumping from... I think he jumped over a load of lorries, didn't he?
He does a massive first jump, doesn't he? And he doesn't make it either. And
yeah.
Flips off the bike and it runs over his head.
No, like his head like hits the wheel and he looks like he's all mashed up.
You're like, Cage didn't last long. He just died in his first scene.
Yeah. And I've written down that there's like that kind of rock music of that era playing in the background and all the boobs.
The boobs.
There's like lots of women with their boobies, sort of like low cut tops. I obviously find boobs. It is. I've just written down he jumps over lollies because I didn't write lorries properly.
Too busy looking at all the boobs.
Boobs, apparently. And then basically, when he has his accident, they drag him away. Everyone thinks he's dead and he comes round and he's like, is the bike okay?
Is the bike okay?
Ridiculous. And then they're like, oh, you know. Oh, you're like awesome, whatever they're saying. And it cuts to like saying they're entering Texas and they're all on the tour bus, like drinking and gambling and playing cards and stuff. And he asks him like if he wants a beer. He's like, no, you know I can't drink. but he's eating jelly beans out of martini glass. And I was like, this is the cage I could get on board with.
Yeah, I'm a fan of this.
It's like, I could get on board with that.
Sweet.
And he gets asked, like, how he's cheating death, really, because he's, like, invincible. And he just seems to, like, not ever die doing his ridiculous jumps. And, yeah, there's, I think there's a bit of silence, isn't there, when everyone's, like, listening to him, and they pop the telly on, and they talk about how he's going to be doing this next big jump.
He's going to jump the length of an American football field.
Yeah. And then it cuts to... I'm trying to read my writing again, because I've written out so much. So they go to, like, this bar, and it's, like... man sort of outside drinking a beer. It's like a bit of a knob.
He's a bit of a knob. The bouncer.
Is he a bouncer?
Yeah, he's a bouncer.
Okay. And then he,
it's like a biker bar in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And then he's talking to this bloke who turns up in, like, those long leather jackets that are, like, wow fashion at the time for goth boys.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're in, like, Underworld a lot as well.
Yeah, Underworld. Matrix.
Yeah, Blade. Like, all of the long vampire-type coats that they wore. And he's like, he says, oh, I think you might be lost, boy. There's only angels in this place. And he goes, basically, like, shows a bit of a scary face and then, like, touches him and he dies, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's... turns him all blue and shit.
It's pretty gross. So then you go to Johnny's home. And he's got some more jellies again, hasn't he?
Loads of jellies.
Mm-hmm. And... it turns out to be the anniversary of his dad's death, and they talk about the jump and how ridiculous the jump is getting, and how he's going to jump across that length of the football pitch.
And he wants to add cars, and the guy talks about adding cars.
Exactly. So he said, he basically asks him a question. Well, I can't remember what the question is now, but basically, like, the reason. He said, oh, would you ever feel like you've ever made a mistake and you pay for it every single day? He said he's basically looking for a sign to make a negative a positive and to get a second chance. And
to know that it's him doing the jumps.
Rather than something else, yeah. Which is why I think he's put the cars in. Who wants to put the cars in?
Yeah.
You're looking at me really blankly.
He wants to know that it's him doing it and not all the devil.
Yeah, but obviously that guy doesn't know that it's the devil that's keeping him alive. He's just, he just thinks he's invincible.
A normal person.
And then it cuts back to the bar, and there's some barmaid behind the bar looking around, looking a bit scared, and everyone's, like, all kinds of dead. Then this guy turns up again, like, grabs around the throat. And he's like, I thought you were here somewhere. And then he kills her, and I'm like, who the fuck is this bloke? And then it cuts to the stadium. It says Johnny Blaze's Leap of Death Stadium.
Leap of Death.
And he's like, they have like the little pre-talk thing, and he's just drinking the coffee out of the jug.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Because it's red hot.
That's a really random, like, sweets out of the martini glass are weird, but to go from that to... drinking black coffee straight from the jug.
Yeah, it's just weird. I'm like, that's like hot. He's like, well, you don't have to do this. And then he repeats his like little mantra. You can't live in fear. Yeah, obviously not. And then he walking along, and they've got all the press trying to talk to him.
He doesn't do interviews.
And then she's like, someone goes, oh, how about for an old friend? And it's like, oh, hi there, Eva, looking fine.
The dialogue is so cheese, isn't it? It's bad.
Awful.
How about for an old friend?
It's awful. So that's when it's like the shittest interview I've ever heard in my life. And it is so embarrassing. Why are you bothered doing it?
It doesn't...
Now I can see why you don't do them, because you're shit. Oh, in case anyone's interested, obviously our American listeners are going to know this. They're going to be like, boring, know this. I wrote down that it's 300 feet between each goalpost.
Oh.
Goal end? Goalpost? Okay. So like she's asking questions. It's just like, oh, saying about how beautiful she looks and stuff. And oh my god, it's so cringe. Oh, it's hideous.
You can't even like.
I just can't even bring myself to.
Whoever wrote this film, like, was the dialogue is awful.
Horrendous,
absolutely awful.
So he says, "Like, you're going to stay and watch me jump?" And she's like, "No." And then he suddenly was like, oh, "That was a sign." What was the sign? That's your interview, that you shouldn't be doing interviews, or
it's definitely a sign.
She's just not that into you.
They're not doing interviews.
Yeah. So he gets out onto the platform, and it's all like just laid out, isn't it? There's nothing on the floor.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, "Oh, okay," like his manager. And then the bloody ceiling opens.
The roof opens.
And like a load of helicopters land. He's like, "I took the cars out."
Jeez.
He's like, "It's a memory of my paw." He thought it'd be a great idea to jump over helicopters.
Oh, he doesn't say it though, does it? It's like a flashback in his. Or does he say it?
I think he does say
it. It was my dad's idea, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then it's a flashback to his dad saying, "I want to jump over a helicopter."
Yeah.
So he's going to jump over, like, is it like 4 or 5?
I didn't even count. I was just looking at it. It's ridiculous. And he's like, "How much noz is there?" I was like, "Oh yeah, that's like the stuff that they put in there to make it go faster." And anyways, and it's enough. And the manager's like, "It's enough for a rocket." And he just goes. He, like, sees Roxy's face. He just goes. He just, like, he shuts his eyes and just jumps it.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
Straight over. And you were like, the rotors
are still spinning. Were still going. I was like, yeah. Oh, my God. Part of me really hoped he'd land and his leg would fly off or something. Like, I was like, come on. As he grows back.
Get twisted in the rotor and then just get up and walk off, whatever. Woofness. Everyone in the stadium's like, the fuck just happened?
It's like, I put this down to my jelly bean addiction.
Lots of really, really hot black coffee.
Straight out the jug, people. Straight out the jug. Stay in school.
Save your life.
Then once he's done the jump, he just fucks off, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's it. Straight out of it.
Just straight out.
And he rode his motorbike out as well.
He did, yeah.
So cool.
It's, yeah, I don't know about that. So then it cuts to like her sat in the van with the filming guy, and he's saying like, "I think he likes you," or whatever, and she's like, "No." And all of a sudden he's like there doing tricks at the side of the car.
Pull over.
It's awful. So yeah, so the only way you can make him stop is to like literally brake in front of the truck. So he has to stop, and everyone's falling over and running over to him for autographs and. Oh, yeah. So, moving on. And I'm trying to find where I am. So he talked about how it was all a sign and she was a sign. And then it cuts to in the city, and then there's Mephistopheles is the devil. And, like, all these devils start meeting up, don't they? And there's, like, a bit of... I've written down a bit of smack talking.
Bench quit jiving me, turkey.
Yeah. You got to sass it.
a bit of a slanging match.
Yeah. So basically, he's turns out that Blackheart is his son.
Yeah.
And that he's going to basically make his dad retire.
I'm taking over.
So yeah, that was that.
And he needs the contract.
Yeah.
For the power
to make it work. Okay. And then I wrote down that they've come a long way in a year. Marvel did. Congratulations, Marvel, because. This was a difficult watch.
So you're not disappointed this isn't part of the MCU then?
No, I'm not, because I think it shows their growth. I feel like, I don't know if this is controversial or not, but I feel like DC are getting there. They've got to have their Ghost Rider before they get their MCU.
Everyone's got to go through Ghost Rider. To get to the MCU.
That's my feeling on it. I can't remember writing for part of it. They go on a date. So when he stopped her, she agreed to go out for dinner. And he said that everyone deserves a second chance. And that's that. So she arranged to meet him. She's like, "Oh, don't be late." So obviously, you know, shit's going to happen. Yeah.
So he's obviously not going to be on time.
No. So she sat in a restaurant necking wine. I was like, this is brilliant. And I think this is where, like, she, I don't know if she was new to acting, but I just found her acting really painful. Like, the pair of them together without this fake huffing and puffing and just, was just, I just didn't feel it.
A bit when she's on her own, it's like massively overacted.
Yeah, really overacted.
Hamming it up.
Like, that would have been good in some sort of rom-com, but not in the middle of this. Anyways, he's in the alleyway, this is Johnny, and he's like, he has a bike revving, because he's in, or he's in his flat.
He starts off indoors, and he's like, washing his hands, and
burning!
He's turning red and getting really hot and steam coming off him.
Yeah.
And then he hears the bikes revving and follows it outside, ends up in the alleyway.
Mm-hmm. Then he hears an evil laugh, and then he does his point again. Why are you here?
Point. You.
Why are you here? He's basically like, how he's been keeping him alive and stuff.
This is the devil.
It's the devil, yeah. And that he's now calling upon him because he needs to find Blackheart and destroy him and find the contract. And if he's successful, then he will return him back. He will return back his soul. I wouldn't trust him. I'm honest. He'd just fuck me over, like, already.
He says something like, "You can't make me."
Mm.
But then he does.
Gets him, like, on the bike, and the bike just, like, shoots off.
He's sat on the bike, and he, like, locks him in place on the bike, and then the bike just goes.
Yeah.
Smashing everything on the way, doesn't it, as it rips up the
road.
It's
amazing. And then he, sets fire to stuff. Doesn't he? Like, he, like, can set fire to things, and he, like, sets fire to his bike, and that makes it look all awesome.
No, not yet.
Doesn't he?
That's a little bit later.
I literally can't read my writing.
So he goes off,
like,
on
not
his
a
bike,
thing.
Like, his bike's sent off on its own, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's when he catches up to the demons. And as he catches up to them, that's when he actually, his head sets fire, and his hands set fire, and it turns to a skull and skeleton hands. And that's when he's
changed into the... steaming. That's what I've written down.
That's when he becomes the actual rider.
Because
he catches up written... like, really quickly, doesn't he? He's off. And then he's there, right next to him.
Yeah.
And has his first fight with him.
It's basically like walking fire, as I can huck his burn his face off. so then he's like... he's going around looking for whoever he's looking for. And then he finds, I think it's the gravel one. Because then he pulls the chains off.
He
finds
all
of them.
Yeah,
and he pulls the train off of something. And then...
starts using a chain as a weapon.
Yeah, and it sets on fire. And then he kills one of them.
After they crash the lorry into him, don't they? They crash a lorry into him and they're like, oh, that wasn't so tough. And then he pops out and gives him his special move. Does he? No, he didn't.
No, he just says, hey, dirt boy.
Messes him up with a chain.
Does an awful punch.
Yeah, awful punch. Like, hammed up to the max.
Yeah.
All the way back and all the way through.
Ridiculous. So then fire chain catches him and kills him. And then that's when he makes his bike all fire and it turns into a badass. So then it cuts back to Eva and she's like hammered. She's like saying to the mater, do you think I'm pretty?
And he's like, nah.
Yeah. Dick
no,
move.
Not really.
This is when, like, the best thing happened. There's a girl and a bloke and he's saying, give me your bag. And they're like fighting. And this is when he turns up and he points and he says, guilty. And he does the penance stare, which he, like, he says, look into my eyes. And then, like, he sets the guy, the person sees everything they've done that's bad. And it basically, like, turns their eyes to, like, stone. It's well weird.
Like lava stone.
Yeah.
So what he does is the pain that the bad guy's inflicted on innocent people, through that stare, he puts all of that pain into them in one go.
Yeah.
That's the penance.
So he, like, has that, which is a pretty cool trick. That girl was Rebel Wilson.
Yeah.
I couldn't have been happier.
You're like, is that Rebel Wilson? I'm like, nah, no way, no. Oh, yeah.
There it is. So then we cut to him transforming back at sunrise at some sort of church place.
Graveyard.
And he's on a grave. It says Carter Slade.
Yeah.
And then, right, this bloke, I did not understand a word he was saying. Not a word.
Sam Elliott's character.
Honestly, is it? Yeah. I didn't get an actual word he ever said apart from the occasional one. I was like, he's got a thick accent. Just mumbled. Him and Nicolas Cage, I was like, great, two mumblers in a film. Brilliant. Nothing like enunciating your words.
It's a bit harsh on Nicolas Cage because sometimes he's very shouty.
That is true, unless you're trying to say Declaration of Independence.
I'm going to steal the Declaration
of Independence. So he's like some cowboy guy, and he like gives him a load of water, because he's like waking up, like grabbing his throat. I was like, yeah, I bet it's on fire, because you were basically on fire.
Because you've been on fire, and also you're a skeleton.
Yeah, and then he like says about his bike, and like he said like everything that happened actually did happen. You're questioning who you are, but, you know, you are the Ghost Rider, and everything you think happened did happen. So he wheels his bike back round again, and it's just like a normal bike. And I literally written down, I don't understand what this man's saying. He's just too mumbly.
A brief background of the Ghost Rider.
He says that he's basically Devil's Bounty Hunter.
Yep.
And then he told him what his job was to do, and he laughed, because he's like, you've got to try and kill them. Great, good luck. And that the last Ghost Rider was 150 years ago. That was it basically. And that this thing was missing or hidden, this contract.
No one's seen it, blah, 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 blah.
All that. As you can tell everybody, I was really super impressed with this film. then he says about how these people that he's got to look for, so Blackheart and the two other remaining demons that he hasn't killed yet were fallen angels. So Blackheart is a fallen angel.
I think it is. About the other two, because he explains the other two are fallen angels and they hide in the elements.
Yeah.
And that's how they get their power. But we know Blackheart's the son of the devil.
Mm.
So.
And basically that he's better off being in hallowed grounds.
Yeah, they can't go there, he says.
Which I think is bullshit. Doesn't he, like, one of them walk into the...
Yeah, literally about 5 minutes later, Blackheart walks into a church. So...
Yeah, I think Mumble Guy was...
I think he's lying. Maybe just on about the other two.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. And then he asked why he made the deal with the devil. And he said that... Oh, what's it he said?
He says, why do you make the deal...
And he said, I was young or I was misled or something. I can't remember what he said now.
Yeah, I was young, I think he said.
Something like that. And then he...
He said, what did you ask for? Or what did it get you?
Oh, a heartbreak.
Yeah.
Or heartache.
Heartbreak, like. I think.
Heartache. Anyways, it doesn't matter. So then he goes into town and sees all the damage that he's done. Yeah, well done, you. And then he obviously sees Roxy there doing interviews with Rebel, who's sounding mental. Like the kind of stuff she's saying, and then he she goes to talk to her, and she's like, doesn't really care that she didn't turn up, because he was saying, you know, like, my dad was right about you all along, you know, I'm better than you, basically, and that you were just a phase.
So harsh.
Yeah, so harsh.
You were such a phase. More excellent dialogue.
Yep, just a phase. So then it cuts to him, like, reading all these books in his apartment. And...
About angels and devils. About angels and
devils. Like, shit. Yeah, all that sort of crap. And then I think, doesn't he practice firing or using fire?
He starts trying to control it. And she then come round.
Oh, comes up in the lift, yeah.
And he tells her that he's the Ghost Rider.
Yeah, it doesn't go very well.
No, because she's like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, it's like, either you're trying to lie to get rid of me or, you know, whatever, and then end up having a snog. Oh, I could not think of anything worse. I don't think they could pay me enough.
What's a snog even meant is?
Oh, no, she might be all right, but Nicolas Cage, I'd be like, sorry, you're not running my tape.
No.
No, thanks. And then, oh, yeah, because she's walking around the apartment, isn't she, seeing all the pictures. I've got that one. I've got that one. I've got that one, like, of all of their, like, bike things. I'm like, yeah. God, whatever. It's like frothing, isn't she, for him? Memories!
You were just leaving, and now you're, like, snail trailing all over the floor behind him. And now you're leaving again. Make your fucking mind up.
Yeah, what do you want? So she tells him all about that, and she's not too sure. So, she just walks out, I think, after giving an ultimatum about whether she's making it up or if he wants to be with her or not. I'm like, well, he can't because he's sold his soul to the devil, so he can't. So then she leaves. As he runs out chasing after her, then a load of police cars turn up because somehow, whatever evidence they found, I do not know because I couldn't see anything.
The license plate.
Was it a license plate?
Yeah.
In the groove in the thing?
Yeah, they find it a little bit earlier and then they present it. Like, we've got you. You ruined everything.
Yeah, I know. I was like, don't think so. Anyways, so it shows a full moon. God, this actually was one of my favourite bits. Other than Rebel Wilson bit.
Yeah.
So there's a full moon at the police station. They're dragging him in. And he's, like, kicking and fighting. They're asking all these questions and playing good cop, bad cop and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah,
and it's just not working.
Really calm in the interview room, like, yeah, you haven't actually got anything
on him,
me,
no. So they drag him out and they put him into a cell with, like, a load of other men, don't they? And they're like, oh, you're Johnny Blaze, all this sort of stuff, and, like, starting on him.
Get away from me, I can't be in here.
And he's, like, convulsing and, like,
these
looking
are bad
a bit mental.
Guys. I'm gonna change.
So he, like, changes in front of them all, and then, like, beats the living shite out of them.
Just fucks everybody up.
But there's one young boy in there, isn't there? He's saying to him, like, oh, leave him alone. He gets punched in the face before he turns into the Knight Rider. And then he does his whole... Ghost Rider.
Before he turns into David Hasselhoff.
Oh, God, it's just too late for this shit now. So he turns into Ghost Rider. He points to the kid with his pointy pointer finger and goes, innocent. Great. That's the end of that then. Off he goes.
Oh, the Ghost Rider voice as well. I forgot about that. When he's...
I mean, the CGI is pretty shocking as well.
But the voice, like, it's not even Nicolas Cage
it's not even
doing
a
the voice.
Good... No.
And the voice is so
it's bad. Dire.
It's terrible.
It's dire.
Innocent.
Oh, that's hideous. So anyways, he goes back to the church again, I think, and... Oh no, this is a church of Blackheart.
Blackheart goes into
the
church.
He's like, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. It's like, no shit. And this is when he gets asking
Jeez.
For, like, I know. It's like, oh my God, he's so emo goth as well. It's painful. So,
you know who Blackheart is, don't you, the actor?
No.
Do you remember American Beauty?
Vaguely, yes.
You know the weird next door neighbour kid who sells the weed and, like, videotapes the
plastic
bag? It's
oh.
him. It's the God. Same guy, and you're like, yeah, I can see that progression through those films. That
weird
makes perfect sense.
Voyeuristic carrier bag boy into emo mental person.
Emo demon.
With his long coat. Yes, okay, cool. So he's asking for the contract. They say no.
It's not here.
So does he kill the priest?
I can't remember if you see it. They sort of set it up like they're going to have a fight.
And then nothing
well,
really
and
happens. Because then I literally just written down about the chase
yeah.
with the police and Ghost Rider.
What a chase.
That is pretty good. Because it goes up onto, like, the bridge, isn't it? And there's, like, police cars everywhere, SWAT teams, helicopter.
But he also fights the other demon in the middle of this, the air demon.
The air demon, yeah.
Chases him up the roof of a skyscraper by driving his bike up
yeah,
it.
That's pretty cool.
Beats him up the top, comes back down.
No, before he does that, he whips his chain around the helicopter, goes, you're starting to piss me off.
Oh, yeah. hooks a helicopter, police helicopter, flings it away, yeah, doesn't he? Yeah, with his chain. Then kills the air demon, then comes back down the skyscraper, yeah, up onto the bridge, and he's surrounded.
Because this is then when, because of course, Eva Mendes, Roxy's character, is like packing her bag, and she looks across and sees Ghost Rider driving up the... And she's like, oh, he wasn't lying.
Pushes her way to the front of the police cordon as well.
Oh, God, like, yeah.
I'm pressed, I can be here.
Bullshit.
How does he get off the bridge? He's surrounded on the bridge.
So, yeah, he said, this is everything. Going back to, because I've written down Dust Bloke.
Dust Man.
Because he says, about, it's always him a slow learner, doesn't he? And he's like, how can, you can't catch wind. And I was like, well, no, I suppose not. Unless wind you trap sock? It. Unless you trap it under the duvet and then dosh oven someone.
That's a different kind of wind.
He makes some sort of whirlwind, doesn't he, with the chain of fire.
The enthusiasm, as you said, it makes a whirlwind with a chain of fire.
Oh, I just thought it was such an anticlimactic moment. I was like,
a prick. Yeah, no, the voices are terrible, aren't they?
Dog shit, yeah.
Really short. Like a bit at the end.
Oh, God. And then it's just, I don't know why they do it in films. There's another film we watched recently. I'm like, why are you shooting at something when it's obviously not going to kill it?
Police in films, yeah.
Start shooting at him. I'm like, it's obviously not going to die. He's a skeleton on fire.
He's a flaming skull walking around, and you think, ah, if I shoot him, he's going down. No, he's on fire.
What was that film we watched recently when they shot it? I was like, what are you even doing?
Oh, who knows? It's every film.
Just don't shoot him. Every film, yeah.
Immediately, if you've got a gun, the answer is shoot. Even if something's indestructible, just shoot and just, then worry later.
Worry about it later. Unless it sucks it ill in and shoots it back out at you, then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Then like basically makes some sort of a smile at Roxy, and he's like head fire goes blue.
Yeah.
And it goes back to red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flirty fire.
Flirty fire.
When my flames blue would be on the fur rug.
Ew. So, yeah, so then she's like, oh, it's definitely him. That's when they shoot him. And then I think he just laughs and drives off or something ridiculous.
He goes up on the top of the bridge, doesn't he? And then he drives off into the water.
Oh,
and then
yeah,
resurfaces.
And goes
comes back on fire. Laughs, rides away on the water, giving the police the finger.
The finger, yeah.
Epic.
I was like, that's kind of
no,
cool.
No, that's fucking brilliant.
Issue was, though, Blackheart saw his interaction with Roxy and was like, we've found his weakness.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah. So then it's daybreak, back to Cage. And so the gravel and the wind's gone.
Yeah, two down.
Two down, two to go. So he's at the grave again.
Just hanging out there all the time now.
Yeah, he's just hanging out with the guy who, I don't really know what his name is. Mumble guy.
There's no training montage either.
That is what the film was lacking.
Because you know, Mumble guy tells him all this stuff about being the Ghost Rider, but doesn't show him any tips or tricks.
No. And he's talking about, I've written down something about there being, something about the gallows, and he's an offered freedom. I don't really know. So, I really don't know where I'm going with this. This is a real struggle, this one, because I just really didn't care. Anyways, I'm just going to cut to the bit, because I honestly did not understand a word he was saying.
No, you didn't, no.
I was like, I don't really know what's going on.
All the exposition is done by a guy.
And every now and again, like, Joe, like, I don't know if any of you guys have seen The Far Show, and he's like, I was very, very drunk. That's basically
Ghost Rider.
Just, yeah.
Contract.
So it cuts to Roxanne going to his address. And then she sees the manager there looking through stuff. And
looking at all his weird demon books.
Yeah. And then shocker, it's Blackheart. In the meantime, Johnny's looking for Roxanne and finds her videographer guy whoever it is, and he says that she's looking for him.
She went to your place.
So that's that. Now, I'm pretty sure by this point, he then, doesn't he go back or something? And he gets joined back by the other guy.
Goes back to the church. So Blackheart takes Roxy, and then he somehow lets him know that he's got a... Oh, he's there.
He goes in and sees him.
Yeah, he sees him.
Oh, and he Roxy. Says about... Yeah, yeah, he's okay.
Like, get me the contract or she's dead.
Yeah.
Meet me here with the contract.
So he goes
and
back
to... And
he
tells him
the...
about other contracts at the graveyard.
Yeah. So he goes there. Mumble guy's got it. It's basically inside the spade.
Yeah, it's inside... an argument about digging up a grave and they smash the shovel. The contract's in there. And then Mumble guy tells him what his actual name is.
It's whatever's on the grave. I can't remember now.
Is it Calvin?
I don't know.
And...
Shelby or whatever, I don't know.
Huge spoiler, Mumble Guy was the old Ghost Rider who stole the contract to begin with.
And he says, I think I've got one more ride left in me.
I answered
that.
Yeah.
And then he like whistles and his fire horse turns up.
Yeah, he turns into his own Ghost Rider and his horse is a skeleton horse on fire.
Yeah, and he's like, can you keep up? And he's like, of course, that's ride. But then this bit was just, They like have a whole scene of them riding off together, don't they?
Ride all the way to the town for the big showdown.
And then he just goes, I can't go any further. Well, then what was the point?
That's me done. That was my last... That was my last change and I've been saving it just for this. And then just turns around and fucking jumps off.
And you're like, what are you even going to... What? So your whole thing was giving me the contract. Now you're just going to fuck off? Yeah.
You had one literally had one last ride left in you, and also you rode all the way here to do fucking nothing.
I know.
It's not like the speed they were going, it's not like they were having a chat on the way, is it?
No.
Like they went, they were rapid.
Oh, it was just pointless. It was pointless.
There was no point to him riding there whatsoever.
So then you know you're at the final battle scene. I was like, hallelujah. Thank God I've only watched this film. And then it's at a swamp. Oh my God, and the creepy water dude.
Comes out of the swamp.
Oh, it's horrible. And then they have like this big badass fight under the water. And then like, the water guy looks surprised that he can stay on fire in the water. I was like, I don't know why you're so shocked.
He's literally...
Made of fire.
Made of fire.
It's like hellfire as well, so I'm pretty sure that would stay alive for a long time.
Yeah, he's badass.
Yeah. So that's the third one down. He's all dead. And then he gets out.
It shows you how epic the fights are that we're struggling to remember how he actually kills them. Just like you know he wins.
He just touches them and they go on fire.
But like how does he kill that water guy underwater? Don't know, but he does. So can't remember.
He gets out and he obviously meets with Blackheart. And then I think Roxy comes out with a gun. And then like he starts laughing. Blackheart or something.
Yeah. He gets a contract and they start shooting him.
Because he won't let go of the contract.
No, and he has a little fight, but he kicks Ghost Rider's butt.
Yeah. Because I think he tries to do the penance there on him. He's like, I haven't got a soul, so you can't do that. Yeah,
that does nothing, mate.
So that's great. So then he gets a contract. He opens it up. All these, like, weird, scary things come out and start going into his mouth.
Remind me of those, the things in Ghost. Like the shadow ghost things in Ghosts that carry off the souls.
Yeah.
A bit like that.
A bit creepy. So, yeah, so that's happening. And in the meantime, they're like trying to shoot him again, I think, or something. And it's all a bit much. Then Blackheart's eyes go red. And then it's actually quite creepy. So it's like...
The special effects budget kicks in at last.
Oh, yeah, thank God. It's all about how it's they're talking like a... I can't remember what he calls himself
Legion.
Now. That's it, the Legion. We are many. It's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Really weird.
But finally he looks cool and a bit scary.
Yeah. So then basically, somehow, again, I can't really read, and like, the Legion's trying to fight him.
The sun's
and he gets pushed
come up,
in. Yeah.
So he's not Ghost Rider anymore. He has to force him into the shadow.
Yeah. So he pushes him into the church, like the hallowed ground, and then makes himself like fire again. And this is when he's then able to do the thingy thing, isn't he?
The penance there, yeah, because now there's
a thousand souls inside of him. So, and he gets the old molten eyes and it's done, son, he's dead.
Again, really anticlimactic.
I was like, there's not even like a proper fisty fight. It's just like...
They actually properly fight for about 4 minutes and then the rest is just loads of talking about getting in the shadow and then a little stare and he's dead.
Yeah. And then it's like the really like awful bit when she's just like goes to touch his face like, oh, monster.
But you're back to you.
Oh, God. Then she, like, touches him and he goes back to cage face and then she kisses him. Then, hilariously, because we were watching it on whatever we were watching, a Green Lantern thing come up.
Yeah, we were watching it on Amazon. Even though there's about 5 minutes of film left to play, it's like, what's next? Green Lantern? I was like, I don't think you can do Ghost Rider and Green Lantern back to back.
No.
That would have pushed you over the edge.
I don't know, because I do really like Ryan Reynolds, though.
Yeah, but you haven't seen Green Lantern.
Does he not Ryan Reynolds his way through it?
He tries.
He can't even do it as Ryan Reynolds? Jesus, how bad is that film?
It's so bad.
God. Anyways.
It's worse than Ghost Rider.
Christ. Okay. So, I think the devil guy has come... We need to now. He like basically says, "Oh, do you want your life back?" And basically says about how it's going to get passed on to someone else. And he's like, "No, do you know what? I think I'll keep it.
I'll stop all the evil doers."
Yeah, and basically,
I'm coming for you.
Basically, because he said, "Like I'm going to be able to play it back into his like the devil's face," and then he looked really pissed off, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And then the body of Blackheart disappears. Then they're in a field of flowers.
The same one from the beginning, isn't it?
Same one from the beginning. And then you see the tree with their names on it. Oh, and then it says the end. And then it just says this is how legends are born. And by this point, I was just so, so done.
I love it. It's so bad that it's good, this film.
I think that's the thing. It's like another easy watch, have one in the background.
Yeah, the more you pay attention to it, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
Like, if you just have it on. I think it's the dialogue.
It's the acting and the dialogue.
It's overacted, but then the dialogue they're given is so bad that if they didn't overact it, you wouldn't be able to watch it at all.
No. It's... Yeah, even, like, the baddies aren't really that bad. Like I said, the creepiest one for me was... the water one. I didn't like him.
He was just a bit grim.
He was grim. And then when he turned into the Legion, I was a bit like, okay, that's a bit weird.
Yeah.
But it just, yeah, it was hideously overacted. And yeah, it was just, yeah, I don't know.
I feel like this is going to get a low rating.
I'm torn. I hate to say, I'm going to give it a 2.
One higher than I thought you were going to go.
Jesus. I mean, I'm going with sufferable.
Sufferable.
Yeah, it was rating like a thingy. I just about managed to. There were some good moments in it,
but not enough.
No,
not enough to save it.
No, I mean, I'm not going to watch it again.
I'm not surprised.
I think it didn't help that I'm not a big Nicolas Cage fan. That didn't make me warm to him. There was, like I said, some funny bits. There was a nice thing with Rebel Wilson being in it, but I just spent the whole time just willing it to end. I still cannot believe a year later Iron Man came out.
Yeah.
I mean, the change in that as well.
I think as well, like, the dialogue in Ghost Rider is so, so bad. But then the strong rumours about Iron Man is that it basically didn't have a script.
So can I just ask, because bearing in mind when that came out, obviously we weren't an item, and I'll let you guys into, like, a little bit of background on us for one of our, like, what... fourth day, so we went and spent 22 hours in a cinema watching all of the Avengers, didn't we? Up until
Avengers 2, yeah. Also, the entire MCU.
Yeah, and that was my first, apart from watching a few with a close friend, that's the only time I've ever watched any Marvel film, so it was like a proper baptism of fire, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So how did you feel when you'd watched Ghost Rider and then said, there's no script for Iron Man? Did you not want to die a little bit?
No one knew there was no script for Iron Man. That's come out... after it was made.
All right.
Apparently, Jeff Bridges, who's the bad guy in Iron Man, said basically what they had was an outline of the scene, and then the script would basically say, Tony speaks about this. So Robert Downey Jr. would talk, and then everyone else had to act around Robert Downey Jr. saying what he wanted to say.
Nice.
A bit like the things in, you know, in Avengers when he's always eating.
Yeah.
That's because Robert Downey Jr. hid things to eat around the set because he was hungry. So we'd just pick them up and eat them while they're filming, and everyone else is just... You either carry on or we got to start all over again, so you might as well carry on.
Amazing.
So, yeah, Iron Man was as good as it was because the director's brilliant, the special effects are brilliant, and Robert Downey Jr.
did
what he wanted. But everyone else was good enough to keep up with him. But it shows you the difference in, like, Ghost Rider as a prime example. Like, they obviously had a script they stuck to rigidly, and it was terrible. The special effects are generally terrible. The actors are so over-directed and overacting.
Micromanage, it's terrible.
And then you go to a year later where they're just like, we know you're a good director, we know you're a good actor, here's your special effects team, they're brilliant, just make us a really good film.
Yeah.
And then at the end, we'll chuck Sam Jackson in it and go, boom.
Winning.
They're all connected.
Love it. So yeah, it was interesting. Happy I've watched it, but no more. What are you making me watch next then?
So the next episode will come out not long after Halloween.
Ooh, one of my favourite times of year.
Oh, so obviously we'll watch the film around Halloween, so it's got to be a horror film.
How scary a horror film.
Well, I wanted to go classic horror.
Mm.
So what's the most classic horrors for Halloween slasher films?
Oh, we're not watching Saw or anything, are we?
No, Saw's not really a slasher film. Classics like Halloween itself.
Okay.
But you've seen Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Friday the 13th. I'm pretty sure you've seen Friday the 13th.
I think so. I can't remember.
And then I thought, what I think is the best slasher film of all time, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Ooh.
But you've seen Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, that bit of Johnny Depp was epic.
But you haven't seen all the sequels.
No.
And so we're going to skip number two.
Why?
So number two is Freddy's Revenge. It basically is Freddy Krueger possesses an actual person and kills people in real life, not in their dreams.
Okay.
You know, like, it's quite good. It is good. But it's not really Freddy Krueger. It's the dreams. Okay. So we're going to go on to the last good Freddy Krueger film.
Okay.
Which was Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors.
Ooh.
And its original Freddy was terrifying. Freddy by the end was just a joke. This is the one where it's exactly in the middle.
Nice.
He's still scary, but he cracks a lot of jokes as well.
Awesome. So, sounds good to me.
Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors.
Sweet next. As a nut. Lovely. Well, as usual, guys, if you want to get in touch, you've got our Instagram page, which is Hayley_watches. And then there's our email address if anyone wants to get in contact.
Drum roll.
HayleyWatches2020@gmail.com.
Yay! It's 2 weeks in a row you've got it right.
It is indeed. So, yeah, we'll hopefully look forward to us joining us on our next one. And as always, stay safe.
Ciao for now.
Bye.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50,
luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.